talking to me?
Funny like I'm a clown, I use you.
Here's Johnny.
He's looking at you, kid.
We're on a mission from God.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Good morning and welcome to the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. Today is Monday, December 28th. We are going to talk about the top 10. It was Will Ferrell versus Star Wars, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even close.
Oh, plus
Michelle?
No. Okay, so here are the 12 worldwide box office estimates from our friends over at Rentrack. At number one, J.J. Abrams' Star Wars The Force Awakens had the best Christmas Day total ever with $49 million in box office receipts. The franchise demolished more records as it hit the $1 billion mark in just 12 days, faster than any other film in box office history.
Yeah. I bet it hits a trillion when all is said and done.
It also became the fastest film to hit $500 million in North America in a record 10 days. So its total, just for the holiday weekend, $153.5 million.
Right. So we can safely say it's made its money back, its production cost.
And definitely. Then some.
Yeah. Yes.
It's still playing in over 4,000 theaters. And number two, Daddy's Home from Paramount Pictures. The film brought in $38.8 million, better than expected. They were thinking about $20 million. So
Yeah, 38 is pretty surprising.
Exactly. I saw it Saturday night over at the Galaxy, and it was sold out.
Wow,
really?
Yeah, but everything was sold out. My wife saw Joy, and it was sold out.
In its first week, it had the widest release of the lot with over 3,200 theaters. At number three, also in its first week of release, is Joy from 20th Century Fox. That film took in $17.5 million. Reviews are mixed for the David O. Russell film starring Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. This is playing over at 2,800 screens.
Well, that's pretty strong for a number three for the debut over the holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Strong, you know, competition out there.
At number four is Sisters. $13.9 million. The R-rated comedy has brought in $40 million worldwide to date. At number five is Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip. 20th Century Fox. The film brought in $12.7 million globally, $47.5 million. That's pretty good.
So there's there'll be a sixth one, I guess?
Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm not covering the sixth one. I refuse.
You put your paw down on that.
Oh, nice. Concussion was number six. The Will Smith movie brought in $11 million over the weekend. It's playing at 2,800 screens, and the film had a $35 million budget. And number seven is The Big Short from Paramount Pictures. That film saw $10.5 million. At number eight, Warner Brothers Pictures, Point Break, the remake of the classic Catherine Bigelow, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze movie. At $10.2 million for the weekend, it's playing at 2,900 screens, and the film cost Warner Brothers $105 million to make.
Hmm. It's interesting. It's at number eight, and I think it's at 8% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
It won't Point Break even. Oh.
That's another expensive. Whoa. I mean, after In the Heart of the Sea.
Oh, yeah. Warners, poor guys. Mm-hmm. Bring on the superheroes.
Yeah.
Well, it should have put somebody in it. Yeah. And if they had some star power, it might have helped. I don't know. I haven't heard of these two actors.
Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar with both of them, but yeah, it did need some push to get people into it, because they've seen that story before, you know.
At number nine is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 with $5.3 million for the weekend. Its global total now stands at $616 million. At number 10, Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight from the Weinstein Company, $4.5 million.
And how many screens? 100?
The 70mm Roadshow version opened at 100 screens, including St. Louis.
Yep.
Hmm. That's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really strong. And number 11 is The Good Dinosaur with $3.8 million. And rounding out the 12 is Krampus with $2.2 million. It played over 1,100 theaters, and its global total now stands at $40.5 million.
Yeah, we like Krampus.
Yeah.
Some other records. Rentrack also announced that the 2015 Christmas holiday weekend was the highest earning Christmas weekend in North American box office history and the second weekend to ever surpass the $300 million threshold.
Oh.
That was also helped by The Force Awakens.
You mean the $300 million threshold, you mean of all Christmas weekends or just all weekends to complete?
Complete.
Oh, my goodness.
Hmm. Yeah. From the Friday through Sunday.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
How many times have you seen Star Wars, Michelle?
Twice, but there's discussion about a third.
We saw it twice.
Yeah.
And then I saw about a half hour of it on the mega screen over the galaxy when we were waiting for Joy to let out.
Yeah, I'm the slacker. I've just seen it one time, so I'm geared up to see it again here.
3D's
very
pretty
soon.
Good. 3D's
yeah,
really cool.
I hear the 3D transfer there, or upconvert probably is pretty decent.
And some of the smaller films are also expanding, and they expanded over the weekend, like The Danish Girl, Spotlight, Carol. So more theaters, more audiences seeing. DiCaprio's The Revenant is also doing very well.
Yeah, that's probably in, what maybe about 10 screens or something, mm-hmm. 10 or 12? Yeah, yeah. So it's going to go very wide, I guess, on the 8th of January. Yeah,
that way it gets in for its
So it opens this Friday. Anything? Anything open on New Year's Day?
No.
No? What are we going to review next Monday? Oh,
actually, I think we're going to take a break next
Are
Monday.
We? We're taking next week off? Yep. And then we'll be back to talk about the worst of the year. But this week we're going to talk about the best movies of 2015. We do this every year on the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. It's an annual thing. Well, it will be an annual thing since this is the first.
I look forward to it every year.
It's the first year that we've had the We Are Movie Geeks podcast. Although, do we have a little bit? There was two movies that opened over the weekend that we didn't review last week. One, as we said, was Point Break, which none of us saw. And apparently nobody saw. Although Kate at our site saw it, and mm-hmm, she said, "What'd she say?" She said it was lousy.
Well, I said there were beautiful action sequences, stunning action photography, but a really stupid plot in between them. There, it's a really silly movie stringing together these really great action scenes.
Another needless remake.
Mm-hmm. Yes, enjoying RoboCop there.
Yeah. And the other movie that opened was Daddy's Home.
If this guy was my wife's ex, I'd put a bullet in my skull.
So the king raised his mighty sword, and he rained steel down upon the step king.
But the step king blocked it with his shield.
Step king was very upset, because when the real king pulled out his sword, it was long and shiny.
All the maidens in the land preferred the more average size step king's sword, because it knew how to listen.
Did quite well. It made almost $39 million. I saw that over the weekend, and I thought it was really funny. That stars, of course, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And Will Ferrell plays this fellow who's married Linda Cardellini. Is that her name?
Oh, she's a lovely woman.
Yeah, I like her, too.
Been a fan of her since Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
He marries her, and she has two children from her first marriage to Mark Wahlberg. And she wants to have a third child, but Will Ferrell is sterile, and there's this really hilarious flashback sequence of how he got sterile. He was in the dentist office, and the dentist had his x-ray machine pointed at his jaw to take some x-rays, and then the dentist walked out of the room and got distracted by his cell phone, and the x-ray machine accidentally started falling down towards his crotch and then went off to take the x-rays and rendered him sterile. So he's married to this woman, and he's like Mr. Superdad, Scoutmaster, and basketball coach of his stepchildren. But then Daddy comes home, and of course Daddy is played by Mark Wahlberg, and you know Daddy rides a motorcycle and has this secret CIA job that he can't talk about, except that he runs guns and kills people and things like that. And you know they battle throughout the film. You know, for the affections of these two kids, Mark Wahlberg bribes them with cash and things like that.
Is Mark trying to win back his ex also?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty funny. The commercials, they really play up the physical comedy. And some of the physical comedy is quite hilarious. But it's actually much smarter than it looks from the previews. The script is pretty good. It's a typical Will Ferrell movie. You don't like Will Ferrell, this one's not going to win you over. But my kids and I had a great time with it. You know, I've been taking my kids to these Will Ferrell movies since Elf. I remember taking my older to see Elf. It was at 2003. So I think Will Ferrell is to my kids like Jerry Lewis was to me when I was a kid. You know, they're not smart movies. They're kind of dumb, but he's such a likable, funny man that he's sort of critic-proof. And Daddy's Home is much better than his last film, which was called Get Hard, I believe.
Yeah.
That with Kevin Hart. This is much better than that. It's not, you know, it's not a some kind of profound masterpiece. But if you like Will Ferrell and if you like Mark Wahlberg, I do recommend Daddy's Home. It's a lot of fun. I guess we don't have any more movies to review.
Oh my goodness!
It's that time of year.
Yeah, we're getting that lull in between holidays.
But now we're going to talk about the best movies of 2015 from We Are Movie Geeks. The very best, the top 10. The cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, best of the best.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk about some of our other writers who aren't here. Kate Marquis. Mm-hmm. Her favorite movie of the year was Spotlight, followed by Brooklyn, followed by The Big Short, followed by 45 Years. Was 45 Years on anybody else's list?
Mine.
Oh, it was on... Michelle raises her hand.
Yep. Fine.
That makes good radio.
Hand raised.
Followed by The Revenant, followed by The Martian. Number 7 for Kate was Youth. Number 8 was Ex Machina. Number 9 was Son of Saul, which has been getting great reviews, mm-hmm. but I don't think anyone in this room has seen it yet.
No, unfortunately.
And number 10 was Mad Max Fury Road. So that's Kate Marquis. Number 1, Spotlight. Number 10, Mad Max Fury Road. And lots of good movies in between.
Yeah, pretty good list there. I'm not as keen on Youth as a lot of folks are, but
I'm not as keen on Spotlight. And, 45 Years was a good movie.
Do you want to run down
anywhere near my top 10?
Do you want to run down our 10, our the sites? 10?
Well, let's finish with these contributing writers. Okay. Since that's where I've started. Melissa Howland. Let's start with number 10 for Melissa Howland. Let's go backwards for Melissa. She'd appreciate that.
Yes.
Number 10 was Spotlight. It was number 1 on Kate's list, but number 10 on Melissa's list. Number 9 was Autism and Love. Never heard of it.
And never opened in St. Louis.
Is that a documentary? Do we know anybody?
Yeah, no. It's a regular type romantic comedy, but people are dealing with with the autism.
Well, I haven't seen it. So.
Yes. Just
number 8, Kingsman: The Secret Service. That was a fun movie. I saw that on a couple bottom lists.
Yeah.
It's like, what the heck?
The Post's worst list. Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The Post
also had Cinderella and Spy on their worst list. I was like,
who wrote that?
Okay.
Kelly?
It wasn't his personal list. It was culled from their wire services and the local reviewers. But I was like, really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Kingsman's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Number 7 on Melissa Holland's list was Amy. Number 6 was The Martian. Number 5 was Ex Machina, a film that's popping up on a lot of lists. The Hateful Eight was number 4 for Melissa. 3 was The Revenant. 2 was Mad Max Fury Road. And 1 was Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh.
So that's Melissa. And let's see. We've also got our friend Michael Hafner. His number... Oh, he has honorable... His honorable mention was Star Wars.
Yeah, well.
Now, Michael reviewed Star Wars for WeAreMovieGeeks.com and gave it 4 out of 5. But Michael's the big Star Wars geek.
Oh, yeah. He goes above and beyond geeking on Star Wars, on his love of Star Wars.
Yeah. So I think if you're invested in the Star Wars universe, like someone like Michael, you might have a different set of expectations. Number 10 is Ex Machina. Number 9 is The Lost River. That's the movie that Ryan Gosling directed.
Oh, really?
And I know Barbara Steele is in it, of all people, but I don't think she has any lines. I forget who else is in it. It's got an interesting cast.
That's not the one with Christina Hendricks also, is it?
I think so, yes.
Okay,
yes, it is,
I heard
definitely.
He was directing her in a film, so that's the one, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if he saw that at Fantastic Fest or something, although... Yeah. Somebody said they saw it on some channel, premium channel.
It is playing right now. I just watched it the other day.
Is it Showtime or Epix or something
like
that?
Yeah. Did you like it?
Cinemax. It's an interesting film. I'll leave it at that.
I heard it's kind of arty.
And then some.
And pretentious. Okay. Michael's number 8 was Sicario. His number 7 was Spotlight. Number 6, Cartel Land. That was a documentary. You saw it. You reviewed that.
Yeah, Cartel is a terrific documentary.
That's a nice.
Yeah. I hope that's going to be on the short list for the Oscars. I think that's a great film.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it will be.
The Keeping Room is number 5. Do we know what that is?
Is that another Fantastic Fest film?
I guess.
It is.
Michael gets to see all these movies and put them on his list. We haven't seen. Number 4, Room. Number 3, Carol. Number 2, The Big Short. And, of course, number 1, Mad Max Fury Road. Travis Kiney has number 10, Ant-Man. Number 9, Felt. What is Felt? Anybody know what Felt is?
I'm guessing that was another Fantastic Fest type flick or something.
I don't know anything about Felt. Number 8, Shelter. What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, Travis, what are you doing?
That's the Michael Shannon movie.
Oh.
Shelter? No, that was Take Shelter.
Yeah, Take Shelter. I think he was in that. But
that was a couple years
just
ago.
Just Shelter. I'm trying to recall what that was. I think that might have opened here.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are you looking it up?
No.
I'm looking it up.
Michelle's looking it up. I'll continue on his list when Michelle's looking it up. The Boy. And I saw a trailer for The Boy. I didn't know The Boy had opened. Where did Travis see The Boy?
Oh, gosh. I don't think it has opened here yet.
Okay, because I saw it.
Is that the one with one of the Walking seeing dead people in it? Exactly. Okay, yeah. Yeah, all right, all right.
Number six was Tangerine, which was great. Tangerine almost made my list. I love Tangerine. So good for Travis for putting it on there. Five, Ex Machina. Ex Machina has made like everybody's list so far. Yeah. Four, Room. Three, Martian. Two, Big Short. And number one, Mad Max Fury Road. So Travis and Michael had the same number one and number two.
Shelter. Yeah, Travis did. Actually, I think he did review it for us. It was a post-apocalyptic type, you know, nuclear winter.
Is that the one with Margot Robbie? That's not that one, is it?
It was released in the spring. It doesn't have... Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was that one with her where she's choosing between Chris Pine and David Oyelowo, maybe?
Oh, I know what one you're talking about.
That's another film, I guess. Different. Okay.
Well, that's something for us to look forward to, Shelter.
Sure.
All right, Melissa Thompson has no number 10. Did she not see 10 movies this year?
She needs to see more movies.
Or does she not have, or she cannot think of a 10th movie?
She just couldn't think of a 10th one.
Okay. Wow.
I
know. And she sees plenty.
Yeah, yeah. I could easily, you know, do 10 without, without blinking.
Can I put one of mine in her
10th movie? Sure. Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, number 9 was Brooklyn. This is Melissa Thompson. Number 9. Oh, in the 8, In the Heart of the Sea. Well, it's good to see that in there. It didn't make my list.
Yeah,
your review was great, though, Tom.
Yeah. I gave it 4 out of 5. It's a good movie, but it didn't come near my top 10 list. Number 7, Jurassic World, another movie that didn't get on anyone else's list. Mm-hmm. She has the most odd titles on her list, or I should say titles that don't show up on anyone else's list. The 33?
Yeah, that's she very
went,
unique.
I think she went more, you know,
Everest?
From the heart.
Everest, yeah.
Those are kind of... She's got a lot of disaster films on her list. I liked Everest.
Some of them were disasters at the box office.
Yeah. Number 4, The Big Short. Number 3, Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
Number 2, Creed. That's a good movie. That didn't show up on anybody else's list either, doggone it.
No,
it should have.
Yeah.
And number 1, Star Wars The Force Awakens. That's Melissa Thompson.
Oh, yes.
All right, so those are the lists from our contributing writers that aren't here today. Okay, now we're going to talk about our top 10, us being Jim Batts, Michelle McHugh, and me, Tom Stockman, who are sitting here in this room. And then we'll talk about how it all averaged out and the best of 2015 from We Are Movie Geeks, which went up last week. Let's start at the bottom of our top 10 list. Jim, why don't you go first? Why don't you talk about what was your runner-up, Jim?
Well, my honorable mention, I guess.
My
number 11, you could say, would be Robert Zemeckis's The Walk, which was one of those things that just didn't seem to connect with audiences. I think it got all around really great reviews, and you know the audiences did see it were really enjoyed it. I just wonder if it was too soon. Since it centers on the Twin Towers, maybe it's just even for a film set, you know, in the past that's kind of a whimsical fairy tale, maybe, you know, people just didn't want to see them again on the screen.
I think it may have been promoted poorly. I think people saw the, you know, this walk across these two buildings and thought that's what the whole movie was about. And they didn't really advertise what all the stuff before the walk was going on with Ben Kingsley these colorful characters.
Oh, yeah,
they kind of left them out of the trailer.
It's sort of like an old-fashioned heist film, like a, you know, Top Cappy or something like that, with them all planning, or an Ocean's 14 maybe, all planning and having their specific jobs on how to get up there and how to set things up. And Joseph Gordon's very charming in it. And like I say, it is kind of a modern, you know, fable, especially the way that it's told. And the special effects are just superb. It's really going to be one of the contenders for that Oscar. I mean, if you got a chance to see it on the IMAX screen, you know, you could barely catch your breath during the actual walk sequence. Is just amazing. So it's definitely one to consider when it's... I don't know if... Is it up at the Redbox? Is it on video?
No, it's not. I don't think it's out on DVD yet.
Yeah. So, if, you know, if you've got...
it's over at the Dollar Show.
Well, if Santa brought you a big widescreen brand-new HD TV, that's one to test it out
But
with.
Don't try those stunts at home, kids.
Oh, goodness, no.
Okay, Michelle, what was your... honorable mention.
My honorable mention is Todd Haynes' superb Carol. I love the pacing of it, how it was framed. The cinematographer is Ed Lockman, who's worked with him before on Far From Heaven. It's just another beautiful film. The score has a great score from Carter Burwell. This film is, it's a slow burn. It, you know, the scenes play out. great performances from Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara. So that's my honorable mention.
And it's a lesbian love story.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard there's been some rumblings online that some film critics or some film sites seem to think that the character of Carol, played by Cate Blanchett, is the villain in it. She's a predator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's stalking poor Rooney Mara, and I don't get that. You know, I know people just got to stir up stuff sometimes.
Yeah, people are looking for something to complain about. Okay, my honorable mention was Inside Out. Actually, it was number 10 until I saw Hateful Eight last week, so then I had to push it back to inside to my honorable mention. I had San Andreas on there as my honorable mention on the site. San Andreas was my favorite sort of dumb summer action blockbuster. But Inside Out, I think, was really the funniest movie of 2015. Maybe not the best comedy, but the movie that I laughed out loud the most. And I saw it three times at the theater. It's a great Pixar film. It's a great kids film. It's got a lot of great emotion, and it's got a lot of good humor for adults. So I really liked Inside Out.
It's a good choice.
It is. Okay.
Well, you'll hear more about it from me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It's higher than honorable mention on Jim's list. Okay,
oh,
Jim,
yes.
Back to you. What was your number 10?
Okay, my number 10 was, you mentioned it earlier, The Hateful Eight. Boy, that is I think I discussed that quite a bit last week, but everyone's getting a chance to see it now, and I hope they are getting to see it in 70mm. I hope to maybe check it out in that format, but it's very entertaining from almost start to finish. It never really feels like it's 3 hours. It zips along fairly well. It's a good whodunit. It's got terrific performances. I was reading a post from a writer online, and he couldn't imagine any actor turning down a chance to work on a Quentin Tarantino script. You know, if you just the chance to say those words would be irresistible to most actors.
Oh,
and they're certainly making the most of it. It's a terrific cast. I really think we'll hear about Jennifer Jason Leigh getting in the supporting category once the Oscars come out, the nominations come out. And it's terrific. Boy, it feels cold, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, especially, well, there's a sequence in there. It's a flashback sequence, and you just can you imagine.
That's a nasty scene.
Oh my goodness, you just want to go run for the hot cocoa then.
Yeah. All right.
But you'll be talking more about that yourself.
Oh yeah,
it's
really it's much higher on my list. Michelle, number 10 on your list was.
Alex Garland's very complex Ex Machina. I love the film. I love Alicia Vikander in it. And Alex Garland, I was a big fan of 28 Days Later from 2002. Alicia Vikander just put her on the map for me. So that was my number 10.
Yep. And my number 10, do you want to say something?
I was just saying I wish I had more enthusiasm for that, but it is kind of like a futuristic noir in that it's, you know, a dangerous dame and undercover stuff, but the ending just kind of leaves me wanting, and I don't think that without giving away the twist or whatever, that one of the people that's affected by it deserves it. And I guess that's maybe what distanced me from the film. But
I reviewed Ex Machina for WeirdMovieGeek.com, and I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars, which usually any movie in my top 10 is going to get 5 out of 5 stars. So I wasn't in love with it when I first saw it, but it's a movie that kind of stayed with me. I kept thinking about it. And then we saw Alicia Vikander throughout the year, appearing in several more films where she was just spectacular.
I think Ex Machina is like the best science fiction film we've seen on AI since like Blade Runner.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah.
All right, my number. Where are we?
We just did number 10, right? Was that yours?
That was my 10.
That was your 10.
Okay, that makes my 10.
Yes.
Oh, my 10 is Anomalisa. Anomalisa. Actually, I almost had 2 animated films on my top 10 list, which I never have. and this Anomalisa is this remarkable film. Have you seen that yet?
I have. Yeah, we got the DVD screener
from
Paramount.
Yeah, I think it opens, January 8th?
Yeah.
So we'll review it, I guess, in more depth next time. But it's Charlie Kaufman's stop-motion animation. It's a... this really strange story, which is a little hard to describe, because if you describe it, then people are going to scratch their heads and say, why would you go see that?
But it's very adult. Actually, your women's group there this weekend gave it an interesting award, as I recall.
Yes, we did.
What award was that?
We're going to talk about it.
Oh, we're going to talk in detail about them? Okay.
We're going to talk about it in detail. Okay. We gave it the best depiction of nudity, sexuality, and seduction.
Over Ex Machina.
I would agree with your group there.
Let's pick up the pace a hair, Jim. Yeah. We're back now to number 9. Jim, what was your number 9?
Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Same, my number 9 too.
That's the game changer. 9. That's the one that landed after a lot of people put together their top tens. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we were able to hold off a little bit and take a look at it. And boy, it just is so great. I think I mentioned my little write up in it. It makes you almost forget the disappointments and frustrations of those prequels. Yeah. It's just a glorious film, and J.J. did a fantastic job. It's interesting that how the Star Wars fans are embracing his take on it, as opposed to the Star Trek fans, which seem to have lots of problems with his reboot of that series. But here, you could see that that this is a guy sort of saluting a film that ignited his passions and his imaginations when he was about 11 when the first film came out, just the perfect age to see it. And it looks like his love for that series has never diminished, and it's really translates.
And Michelle, that was your number 9 as well, huh?
It was.
Wow, okay. My number 9 would have been Mistress America, which was a comedy starring Greta Gerwig, I forget the young actress who plays her.
Lola Kirk,
and she plays a college student in New York, and her mother is getting married to Greta Gerwig's father, so she looks her up, and they become friends. And it's a really cute comedy, really well written. Noah Baumbach wrote and directed it. He's had a heck of a good year, because his film, While We Were Young, which starred Ben Stiller and Adam Driver, almost made my top 10 list. So the guy had two great films this year, Mistress America and While We're Young.
And Greta is just delightfully delusional in Mistress America.
And she has a lot of really funny lines.
Oh, that whole scene where she's selling the idea of this restaurant where they'll do hair in the back, and it'll be like a gathering place for the neighborhood people. It is just so entertaining. And you're just what planet are you on?
So Mistress America, number 9 on my list. Now we're going over to number 8. Jim, number 8?
Yeah, this is kind of unique to the list. I was really smitten with Mr. Holmes, exploration of what happens to Sherlock Holmes in his very old age. I think when the film starts out, he's about 97. And what really sells the film is the incredible performance by Ian McKellen. He's completely convincing it, showing Holmes at these different stages in his life. We get flashbacks to Holmes from about 30 or 40 years before, and he conveys that sort of wistful regret. He realizes he's the last one left of his old Baker Street gang, and he's learning to really connect with people. He's connecting with Laura Linney as his housekeeper and her young son. And it's directed by Bill Condon, and this is the first time, I guess, he and Ian have worked together since the excellent Gods and Monsters so many years ago. And it's terrific. It's certainly a great addition to the Sherlock Holmes film canon. And I hope that Sir Ian will get a nod. That'd wild card spot at Best Actor.
Yeah, he should. It's a sort of a sad, sort of melancholy film, too. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a Sherlock Holmes mystery with Sherlock Holmes old man, but it's really not. There's two or three little sort of minor mysteries that are very personal stories to Sherlock, and it is a very, very good movie. It would have been in my top 20. Michelle, what was your number 8?
Spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What a film. Wow. That's going to be up there for Best Picture nomination, and it could win. It's definitely a critics movie, so we'll see how the Academy receives it.
I don't know.
So far, the screenings have been really good. Academy members have embraced it. So we'll see in January how many nominations it receives. And
yeah, what's going to be interesting is how it affects the supporting actor category, because
right.
I know that at some, well, was it the Golden Globes or SAG that believes that Keaton is a lead actor mm-hmm. in it, but I think most people think that everyone's pretty much supporting
it's an
in
ensemble.
It. But yeah. I think I mentioned when we got together last night that I showed it to my brother over the weekend. He had the same reaction about 10 minutes into it, going into it, that I did when I first saw it. He's like, what's Mark Ruffalo doing mm-hmm. in this? And then, you know, you understand his character and what he's doing with his, interesting choices of facial tics and expressions and,
right.
and enunciation. It's really, really great.
I think
it's,
Rachel McAdams is also a big standout in the film as well.
Yeah, you can just see it just break her heart to have to do this story because he knows how it's going to affect her family.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of her that's the reporter says, no, this needs to be told. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's all around terrific performances.
All right. My number eight was Ex Machina, which you've already discussed. It stars Domhnall Gleeson, who's certainly had a heck of a year. He was
hasn't
in
he?
Oh my gosh.
The Revenant, which is on some of our lists. He was in Star Wars, which is on some of our lists. And he was in Brooklyn, which is on some of our lists. So
yeah.
That young fella is someone to look at.
Yeah, or just maybe some other actor should get his agent.
Yeah.
get him to read the scripts for him because he picked some good scripts.
A quartet of winning films to co-star in. All right, let's over to number seven. Jim, your number seven was?
My number seven was the documentary Amy, the tragic story of Amy Winehouse, a wonderful singer whose own personal demons cut her life and career short. And it's really interesting. It's told through the voices of her friends and acquaintances and family members, a lot of home movie type footage or home video footage. And, she was kind of a controversial, kind of a polarizing personality towards the end of her life. But here you really get to appreciate the artist she was and kind of to mourn her, because you get to see her at the start of her career and she's this vibrant, excited, anxious young woman. And you're like, oh, what happened? And you kind of see what happened. And mm-hmm. it's very well done. I think it'll be definitely one of the Oscar contenders for best documentary feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best documentaries of the year, definitely.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
not
and my
winner.
Favorite of the year of a year of good documentaries. So
hasn't it been?
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
definitely yeah.
yeah.
I agree.
A documentary made my top ten.
I saw that,
but it wasn't Amy. Okay, we're at number seven there, Michelle.
Yeah. Adam McKay's The Big Short from Paramount Pictures.
Yes,
boy, does that film, with the subject matter and the burst of economic bubble, and McKay, just that fine line between it being just a tragedy, which it is, to this really improbably funny movie. And
mm-hmm.
the cast is stellar. I like that Ryan Gosling narrates it to kind of, bring everybody, the audience into the film. Yeah, it's a really great film. That's why I made my list.
It is.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that with a regular audience, to see how they feel that sort of whiplash in the last act.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Everything that's, the sort of frothy farce turns into a tragedy.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we all saw it on screeners, right?
I saw it at the theater.
I saw it at a screening with the other film critics. So you
yeah.
saw it with a regular audience, Tom, did you?
Well, I saw it.
Oh,
at a screening,
no,
but
screening,
it was full. I mean, it was full of regulars and film critics.
Oh, okay.
So
I just saw it at a film critic screening.
Yeah, it's a very dense film, and there's so many characters and so many plot twists, and I mean, you really got to pay attention to it. There's
mm-hmm.
enough story in it for two or three films. It did okay. It looks like it did number seven. It made $10 million. I don't see it really breaking through to mainstream audiences. Oh, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I showed that to my brother who dabbled in real estate, and he's all through it. He's going, yes, I told him this. I knew this. Yes.
Yeah,
and I so hope Steve Carell sees a nomination out of
yeah.
that whole ensemble.
It was better than he was last year when he got that nomination for that
Fox Catcher.
Okay, number seven on my list was Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty high up there. I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I went into it with a different set of expectations than Michael did, and Michael gave it 4 out of 5. I would have given it 5 out of 5. I know some of the rub that it's getting is it's too similar in structure to the original 1977 Star Wars, but for someone like me, that familiarity was a strength. I kind of enjoyed
yeah.
that, and I enjoyed the humor and the old school special effects, when they made these prequels, 10 and 15 years ago, that were so lousy, it was just actors standing in front of a green screen. and they bragged about that. Oh, look, we don't even have to go out on location. We can just film in front of this green screen. Isn't technology wonderful? And that's one of the reasons, besides bad scripts and bad acting, that those movies are just dead. Those movies are really hard to sit through nowadays. Yeah. But I think the whoever was in charge learned from the mistakes of those films. They brought back the original cast, and they did a lot of things in deserts. I mean, they really took these people to locations to film this new Star Wars movie, and I think it all paid off.
Yeah, they got a terrific new group of characters, too, I think.
Yeah.
They continue did. On.
Wow. Yeah, okay, now we're coming down to number six.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your number six, Jim?
My number six was this little independent film called Room.
With Tommy Wiseau?
No, not The Room, but just Room. It's based on the acclaimed novel, I believe, by Emma Donoghue, her name. And terrific, terrific performances by Brie Larson as this mother who, this young woman who got kidnapped when she was 17 and has been kept captive in this little shack behind this guy's house. And she ends up giving birth to a young boy. And when we see them together, it's he's 5 years old, and she decides that they need to get out of there. The 5-year-old Jack is played by Jake Tremblay. Terrific young actor. Incredible performance. It's sort of told through his eyes. And I just thought it was engrossing. And Brie Larson is one of our best young actresses out there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did that make your top 10 list, Michelle?
No. But my number six was John Crowley's Brooklyn.
Starring Brooklyn.
Saoirse Ronan.
And Dom Hall Gleason.
And exactly. That guy is what, 4 or 5 films this year?
Yep.
I think it's just, it's really... really good, rich filmmaking, like how it used to be.
It's sort of a simple story, but it's really well done.
Set in the 1950s, she plays an Irish immigrant. She's torn between, home and her newfound home. So I just, I had to make my list. And a great score from Michael Brooks as well.
Okay. Michelle liked Brooklyn. I liked Carol. That was my number six. I reviewed Carol last week at WeAreMovieGeeks.com. I gave it 5 out of 5 stars. It's really a nice period lesbian romance between Cate Blanchett and young Rooney Mara. And I also wanted to point out Kyle Chandler and Jake Lacy. There's their respective men in their lives. They were very good, too.
Oh, as a Sarah Paulson, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, Sarah Paulson. Mm-hmm. She's good. Great acting, great score, great direction. I don't know. I don't know why I like Carol so much. Maybe it was the hot girl on girl action.
And it was another Carter Burwell. Carter Burwell had some really fantastic scores this year.
That's why you love it, Tom.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I love it, because of Carter Burwell's score.
That's right.
All right. So that was number six on my list, which takes us to the ever important number five. Jim, number five was?
There was one that was on your honorable mention, Inside Out.
What a great animated film.
It is great. It's a return to greatness at Pixar. They've kind of been languishing with these sequels, and they've been entertaining, but this is the closest they've come in a while to masterpieces like Up and Ratatouille, and things that really emotionally connect with people. And the voice cast is so great. I got to single out a St. Louis and Phyllis Smith as Sadness. And actually met a couple who have a 6-year-old little girl over the holiday weekend, and I mentioned that film, and her favorite character was Sadness.
Aww.
So I thought that was sweet. But yeah, it's just a wonderful, inventive film, and just gorgeous to look at, too.
Mm-hmm. So that made my honorable mention. Yeah, great, great animated film.
I didn't care for it at all.
Oh,
did what? Not.
Bah humbug!
No. You got to go to the control center of your brain there.
Yeah. You gotta, too much sadness and.
I much prefer Shaun the Sheep over Inside Out.
Well, Shaun the Sheep was funny, but.
Yeah,
Inside Out was richer.
This will grab you by the brain and by the heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Michelle, then what was your number five? Then?
Speaking of grabbing the heart, number five. My number five was Brooklyn. My word.
You just talked about Brooklyn. That was your number.
I'm sorry. Number five was 45 Years. Gut wrenching. It stars Charlotte Rampling. It's heartbreaking. I really hope the Academy remembers the film. Hope they remember her performance. They find out, the couple co-starring Tom Courtenay, find out that his long-lost love, fiancé, previous to the marriage, they found the body, and it's this turmoil that happens as they're getting ready to celebrate 45 years of marriage, and it's just, it's really well done. The final scene in the movie just breaks the heart, and yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not played here in St. Louis.
Not yet.
Hopefully it'll find a venue in the next few weeks, because it is worth seeing. Yeah, definitely.
Well, here's where my head was on that movie, and I've seen too many thrillers. You know, he gets this letter that this body of his old girlfriend has been found in the mountains, all right, and then there's some drama, and then she goes up to the attic to find a clue. Well, I thought for sure she was going to find some clue that he had murdered the first girlfriend.
I
thought there was going to be like more of a thriller mystery story to it, and then he finds out that she finds out, and then he goes after her.
The true reveal, not to give it away, is almost worse than that.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's less conventional, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you have to kind of pay attention. I know a couple of people had zipped past, but it's in the attic you're talking about,
yeah.
Right? Yes. It's a really, really great film, yeah.
And it made Kate's list and my list.
Okay. My number five was a documentary. I can't remember the last time I had a documentary on my top 10 list, but it was the fabulous documentary Electric Boogaloo, the wild untold story of Canon Films. It played one night at the Tivoli, and it was just terrific. It was about Canon Films and the Golden Globus brother, or cousins, I guess they were, who bought Canon Films and just cranked out these mid-budget and low-budget action films throughout the 80s with Charles Bronson and Chuck Norris and Michael Dudikoff. It's absolutely hilarious, and there was some really interesting footage. There was actually some footage of Charles Bronson and his stuntman on the set of Death Wish 3. Just some really hilarious interviews and anecdotes about these two knuckleheads who made these great movies that I saw over and over at the drive-in and at the theaters back in the day.
So deserving of a longer run. It should have played at least a week or two. And it's worth checking out. I'm sure it's available streaming.
It's on Netflix right now.
It is. Oh, it's so entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, so that is called Electric Boogaloo, which is a reference to the second Breakin' movie. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, the wild untold story of Canon Film. So that was my number five. Jim, we're up to number four. Now we're talking. Now we're getting into the heat of the action. What was your number four, Jim?
Number four is The Martian,
A
Return to Greatness by Ridley Scott. This is, I think I mentioned originally, this ranks right up there with Blade Runner and the original Alien.
Thank you.
As part of his sci-fi trilogy.
In Exodus?
No. This is a great comeback after that debacle, but it's so entertaining. I hope Matt Damon will be in the mix for Best Actor.
Oh,
I think he's so great as this astronaut that's stranded on Mars, and who they think is dead, and he has to find a way to survive on there, how to make food. And you think the adventures of a botanist would not make for an exciting film, but it is. He's finally able to make contact, and then there's the big decision about whether they should try to risk everything in order to go back and get him. It's a rip crackin' adventure, and it's just terrific performances from all involved. Besides Mr. Damon there, that's Jessica Chastain is the head of the spaceship. Jeff Daniels is the boss on the ground. And even Kristen Wiig has a nice part in it, sort of the public relations person for NASA. And it's one of the most entertaining films of the year.
Good. So Jim really liked The Martian and put it all the way up at number four, and Michelle put it number four.
Creed.
Oh,
Ryan Coogler's Creed. Excellent movie.
Yeah, it is
a
great
movie.
It's you're the only one that has it on your list.
No,
although it would have been in my top 20.
I think Melissa also has it.
Oh, yes, there she
is. Melissa T. also has Creed.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. From The Cinematography by Maurice Alberti, a female cinematographer who I recently interviewed, and that interview will go up on the site this week, to The Score by Ludwig Göransson. My word, just the whole reinvention of that franchise starring Sylvester Stallone and Michael B. Jordan. I can't say enough about how great that film is. It doesn't miss a step.
It is a great film. I think Stallone's got to be the front runner for supporting actor at this point.
I hope so. I really do. I would love to see him back up at the podium.
Yeah, the best Rocky film since the 76 original. Yeah, that's for certain.
Exactly.
Okay. My number four was Irrational Man, which is the only place that movie found on anybody's list. That was Woody Allen's terrifically written and terrifically acted drama about getting away with murder, and had a great performance by Joaquin Joaquin Phoenix, and an even better one by Emma Stone. I'm not sure why people didn't embrace this movie. I just thought it was wonderful.
I think it's because they saw it.
No. It's a terrific movie. Ouch. I don't know what's going on with... I mean, Woody Allen movies almost always make my top 10 list. I thought this was his best. Wasn't as good as Blue Jasmine, but it was a lot better than the one last year, didn't make my list.
A lot better than Magic in the Moonlight, yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but it's not a comedy. It's a pretty serious film, and it tackles a lot of issues... sort of existentially, and I think I'm not sure why people didn't embrace it, but I certainly did. Did you see it, Michelle?
No.
Jim saw it and didn't like it.
All right.
Yes.
Heck with you.
Oh, well.
All right, now we're down to the top three. Oh. Oh, my gosh, it's getting heated in this room. Jim?
Yeah, I just turned up the heat a little bit ago. Okay, number three on mine is The Revenant, which we'll be talking about a lot more when it opens wide on January 8th. And it's certainly worth seeing. Don't be put off by the 2.5 hours length. It zips by. And don't be put off by the stories about that scene.
Yeah.
Because it is a really, really incredible scene. Yeah. But
it's a female bear.
Yes. But it's the best thing Leo's done in a long time. It's a really interesting follow-up by Iñárritu, a follow-up to Birdman. It couldn't be more different. And just make sure that you go to a good theater, because I had a little problem with watching the screener DVD, because as I was reminded on a report on Entertainment Tonight, that it was all shot in natural light.
Yeah.
So you need to see it on the brightest screen you can, but it gives it an interesting look.
And what a great score.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Terrific score. Terrific supporting actors. We mentioned Domhnall Gleeson again. And Tom Hardy, who is pretty much the villain of the piece. He's just compelling. He tells a story about how he was almost scalped, and it's just mesmerizing. Mm. He's terrific. Will Poulter is great in it. So, yeah, it's a great film.
Great movie. And number three on your list, Michelle, was?
F. Gary Gray, Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
About the biopic about the emergence of NWA and how they revolutionized the that genre, the music industry. Standout performance by Jason Mitchell as Eazy-E.
I couldn't get through that movie.
Oh, it would be on my top 15, I think.
Yeah, it's one I wish I had seen in the theater. I think I would have liked it more, but trying to watch the screener,
fabulous.
I just kept turning it off.
Ugh, I love that movie.
All right, that's number three on Michelle's list, Straight Outta Compton. Number three on my list is Hateful Eight, which was number 10 on Jim's list. Hateful Eight, I think, had the best screenplay of the year. You could just listen to... Quentin Tarantino's dialogue for hours and hours, which you do actually when you watch a Hateful Eight, because I say about 80% of the movie takes place in one room, and it's just 8 or 9 or 10 guys sitting around talking, and then it's really, really good. It's a great story, a great mystery. It's got a great score by Ennio Morricone.
Any particular characters that jumped out at you that you?
Oh, probably Samuel Jackson. He was pretty awesome.
What you think of Goggins in it?
Goggins was great. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor. Everybody was great. Mm-hmm. Bruce Dern sitting there. And, of course,
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
She gets, the butt of a rifle in her face in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then that's just the least of her worries. she's absolutely fantastic. And good for Quentin for casting her, because she's, in her 50s, I believe. Just a great movie. I want to see it again. I have not seen it in 70mm, but it's kind of odd that he shot that movie of all the movies to 70mm, and then it all takes place in this one cabin. I don't quite get what he's doing there, but I'm going to go see it in 70mm. Mm-hmm. My wife saw it in 70mm. All right, now we're down to the final two. Oh my gosh, Jim, what was your number two?
Oh, we talked about it earlier. Spotlight. I think that's a major contender for Best Picture. I've seen it 3 times now, and it's just as interesting and entertaining, and I find new things to notice or get involved with watching it every time. And yeah, it's one of the best films of the year for sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. Jim loves Spotlight, and Michelle loves in her number two spot.
My number two was George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road. Boy,
what?
Yep. That was my number two. It's not a Mad Max movie. It's more of Charlize Theron's movie and the story of what happens with these women, and just the score from Junkie XL, who's going by Tom Holkenberg now, was one of the highlights of that movie. So that was my number two.
Wow. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Where's my number two? Oh, my number two is Revenant. Yes, Revenant. What a great movie. I loved Revenant. All right.
Yes.
And I'm not going to add anything more to that because we got to pick up the pace here. Jim, your number one movie. Where's the drum roll?
It is.
Jim's number one movie of the year was
Mad Max Fury Road. Oh boy, what an adrenaline rush that movie is. Yeah. It's the best Mad Max since The Road Warrior. Just a terrific reboot, and it's just amazing that it's from the same director, George Miller, a 70-year-old man directing better than most kids, you know, little punks right out of film school. He's terrific.
Yeah, he could show them a few things.
That's right.
That's an absolutely fantastic movie. And Michelle's number one movie was not Mad Max Fury Road, that was her number two movie. So, Michelle, what the heck was your number one movie?
I had to give the edge to The Martian. Ridley Scott's The Martian. I was such a huge fan of Andy Weir's novel that it's based off of. Has a terrific supporting cast as well as a great performance by Matt Damon. So, I'm a huge NASA science geek, and I just thought the movie, it's just riveting from beginning to end. So, that was my number one.
Michelle's number one was The Martian, and my number one was Mad Max Fury Road, which told this amazing story about redemption and saviors and heroics, all told while barreling down the deserted highway at 100 miles an hour. What an amazing film. I think it's really the best film I've seen in several years, maybe of the century so far, Mad Max. I just couldn't get enough of it. It's like it reminded me of when The Road Warrior came out in 1982, I believe.
Yeah.
And I just kept seeing that one over and over. I went to the drive-in and saw that about a dozen times. I just couldn't get enough of it. And this Mad Max Fury Road, I feel the same way. I saw it 5 times on the big screen, twice in 3D, and I've watched my Blu-ray over and over. When I'm just laying in bed thinking, what the heck am I going to watch tonight? Oh, I'll watch Mad Max Fury Road again. And I do, and I can't get enough of it.
Wear the groove off that Blu-ray.
It's amazing. I love, love, love Mad Max Fury Road. We've only got a couple minutes left. So let's talk about, so we sort of put these all in a blender and aggregated and figured out what the heck the number top 10 was for the best from We Are Movie Geeks sort of overall. Do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 10 was Straight Outta Compton. Number 9 was Brooklyn. Number 8 was Room. Number 7 was Revenant. Number 6 was Spotlight. Number 5 was Star Wars: The Force Awakens. Number 4 was The Martian. Number 3 was The Big Short. Number 2 was Ex Machina. And number 1 was Mad Max Fury Road.
Good list.
Good list. Although Irrational Man didn't make the...
And honorable mention to Creed. So.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Creed.
Great Creed, yes. Terrific film.
So, go to Weird Movie Geeks and look at our top 10 list, and there's some more details about what we liked about all these great movies. You know, 2015 was a great year for films, I think.
Yeah, and then since there's no big new releases this weekend, if you haven't seen one of these films and it's still playing in your theater, go see it in the theater. Don't wait for the red box or streaming or whatever. Yeah. See it in the theater.
And quickly, speaking of great films, a group that I belong to, the Alliance of Women Film Journalists, we have announced our nominees for the 2015 EDA Awards. It's a yearly award. It's like a best of that we put out. We announced our nominees. And I'll just say what our films are really quickly. So our nominees for Best Film are Carol, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, Room, and Spotlight. And we have a lot of different, standard categories. But then we also have categories that award female-focused, films where it's a woman director or a woman screenwriter. And then we also have special mention awards at categories that, like Jim had mentioned before, best depiction of nudity, sexuality, or seduction, age difference between the two characters. So we will announce the EDA Award winners on January 12, 2016.
All right. So more talk of good movies. That's all we've been talking about is good movies. We're going to skip next week. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. We won't be on next week. So listen to this show twice. And then in 2 weeks, listen to us. We will be talking about the worst movies of 2015. Until then, I'm Tom Stockman.
Michelle McHugh.
Jim Bass.
Listen to We Are Movie Geeks, the podcast again. Thank you.
Black leather, rock, rock, rock. Black leather, ta, ta, ta. Black leather, black leather.
Oh, nice, Dave. Hello, darling. Hey, hey, hey.